right now, there does seem to be a question as to who the key figure is, other than the president himself, in terms of running the overriding direction of U.S. foreign policy. Obviously, Hillary Clinton is Secretary of State. We've just had her visit to Asia going on. But we've got Richard Holbrooke, a major and senior player involved in Pakistan-Afghan policy. The direction, though, of that policy, really, the center of gravity is military, with the military buildup, which is in the hands of General Petraeus. You've got George Mitchell in charge of the Mideast peace process. We now have an emerging banking crisis in Central Europe, and I imagine Department of Treasury may well get involved in that. At Guantanamo Bay, which is a Department of Defense facility, but it's an intelligence collection entity, but also a Department of Justice concern because of the issues of habeas corpus and prison release and prisoner treatment. That's sort of in multiple hands. So there does seem to be a little bit of fuzziness going on right now in terms of who's got charge of the central direction.
Team of rivals.
Well, it also, I mean, there's no question that there was plenty on the president's plate when he took the office. So it's not really surprising that there are all these different spokes to the wheel. But
without a doubt. And you have an Iraq policy review, an Afghan policy review going on. And so there are decisions being made. There are things being done already. But the sort of overriding what's the policy is still being put together by the team. And yes, of course, and as you point out, I mean, the president has been so focused on the economy that there probably hasn't been the time needed to really get a handle on the breadth of worldwide issues that are on his plate. But of course, they will demand his attention soon enough, if not immediately. And we may tonight, for example, with the speech, start to see some sense of kind of a coherency in where the president's going. Obviously, aside from opposition to the war in Iraq, the big theme was greater emphasis on diplomacy. And certainly you've got Hillary Clinton and Holbrooke and Mitchell all with major portfolios now. You have kind of a shift in the direction towards negotiations with Iran and North Korea, although both those countries are now showing signs of testing sophisticated missile or rockets, which could raise new security concerns. So you'll have this continuing tension. There always is tension between state and defense, between military challenges and diplomatic solutions. But right now, it's hard to sort of see a sense of kind of who's got the most juice, who's really setting the direction, if you will.
And is it a matter of having somebody in charge to sort of figure out the priorities and where to do the most good and where to move the most people and that sort of thing and shift the most dollars?
I think it's kind of thematic in the sense that, you know, we saw this confusion, which we talked about last week, with Leon Panetta going through the confirmation process, where you had the administration coming in and the president signing these executive orders, setting a new tone and a new direction on treatment of detainees. Yet there seems to be this fuzziness, this ambiguity. Maybe we won't investigate past activity. Maybe there will be a couple of loopholes in case we really do have to lean on a detainee who we think has information about a pending attack. Maybe there will be some sort of rendition, but done in a different way. So there's a little bit of kind of mixed messaging going on. Maybe Obama wants it this way. You mentioned the team of rivals and creative tension. Mm-hmm. Certainly under Bush, we had Cheney clearly being the dominant overriding voice other than the president himself. And there are lots of people who didn't like the way that turned out.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing, but right now the clarity isn't quite there yet.
Well, but it is interesting because, you know, we always talked, and before January 20th, we would reemphasize that you come in and you're having to build your staff almost from scratch.
Yeah.
A lot, and it's only been a month. They're still filling a lot of these positions.
Right.
And you're sort of starting off at a place where you have a lot of political capital, and yet you don't have a lot of people in jobs. You don't have a lot of those people, some of them don't have as much experience. It's a difficult period.
There's no question about it, yeah. And I think a number of things contributed to that. The fact that the campaign continued so late into the game made it sort of pushed back by several months the time that might have otherwise been spent building that team and having it ready on the ground, ready to roll. Of course, there were some problems with a couple of the confirmations flaming out. You had some controversy over some delay in the filling of the CIA post, and then of course the economic meltdown, which has just been taking up all the oxygen from Labor Day on, really. So there have been some structural issues that have gotten in the way. I do think that, you know, obviously, you know, you have a president whose main foreign policy theme, other than the importance of diplomacy, was ending the war in Iraq. And he comes into a situation in Iraq that seems to be actually going fairly well. Another place where, you know, you're in transition now between the military being the key center of gravity versus U.S. diplomats versus the Iraqi government itself. So lots of transitions still going on. It's going to take a while yet. And then meanwhile, of course, beginning of this week, we have the government accountability report out talking about a lack of a coherent plan on terrorism. So a lot of boxes still to check yet.